From the studios of WNAA-FM-HD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WNAA-FM-HD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I brought him again with even this year, y'all.
Man, look, Dr. Funderburk, a.k.a. Honey, man, you know I'm back with you again.
That's right. You're back.
You know, we got a new season.
Uh-huh.
You know, the spring of 25.
Of what?
Oh, man, I got to stay off that stuff, Dr. Funderburk.
Not 25. We done rolled over, sir.
We done rolled over to 26. Man, that Kool-Aid out here today, it was so good. It fried my brain.
Oh, my goodness. Not the... Anyway, y'all. So, y'all, you know he normally gives a name, but guess what? Our guest today is so just like for real. Our guest came in and he said, I'm going to give Keith the name today.
I'm trying to figure out how you going to give me the name on my show.
But look, I like it.
All right, so I'm going to let him think he's going to say my name and then I'll come back. So Dr. Funderburk, who we got for us today?
Okay, so we have today with us Mr. Cleveland Finch. And he, y'all, you need to pull everybody in. He has a story, y'all. If you think that you can't make it, if you think that you cannot come up in this world, if you think that your mistakes were so bad that you, you know, just are never going to be able to get it together, you need to listen to this man's story. I'm telling you, this man's story is phenomenal. But before we get into his story, you know what? I was like, we were kind of talking before the show, and I said, he sound like one of our cousins. just in our conversations. Just, you know, like we could just be sitting around at the house chilling, talking. So he said, you know what? I got a name for him.
Yes, he got a name for me. All right, so again, we got Mr. Cleveland Finch, a.k.a. Cleve for me. Cleve, what you got for me? What's going to be my name today?
Well, good afternoon, and your name for today is Mr. Get Right.
Mr. Get Right.
Oh, I'm glad he said Mr. Get Right and not Mr. Can't Get Right.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Mr. Get Right Funderburk.
Look at that. That's the problem. I love it. Right there. My wife is endorsing this hot mess.
That's right.
My show.
I love it, Mr. Get Right. I'm going to be using that one. I'm going to use that. That's the name. That's your name for the rest of the year. I need to speak to Mr. Get Right.
Okay.
Because you ain't the one. I need Mr. Get Right.
See, right now, for those, now, I know this is audio, but my wife is literally, she is standing up, pointing her finger at me. And
oh,
like,
my goodness.
I'm
stop
like,
it.
Really?
Stop it.
I mean,
stop it.
She got them, you know, them glasses on. You know, brothers, when you know, them fancy glasses that women are wearing today.
They're called readers.
The doctor glasses.
Yeah, man. She got those doctor glasses looking
at
me
like, oh, my goodness. Okay, y'all funny. Right. Y'all funny. But I love it. I love it.
All right. So again, look. Pull over, slide up into the driveway. I want y'all to, let's talk, and we're going to keep it real. That's the thing about Cleveland. He's that kind of a guy. He's a keep it real kind of a guy. And today, we're going to be talking about life. Again, life after life. Now, what do you mean by that, Bud Funderburk? All right, so look here, Bud Cleve. Now, we're going to keep it real because that's the kind of person you are.
Right.
So now, of course, I know, you know, again, you did a little bit of time. You know,
a whole lot of time, not a little bit.
How much time did you do? And when we say
altogether, I went to prison 11 times, and the full is like 25 years.
Wow.
So Cleveland, tell us your story of how it all got started some 25-ish years ago.
I was born and raised in Wilson, North Carolina. I had 9 sisters and 4 brothers, came from a big family. And we lived in the country. And so I began to, you know, I was going to school and I dropped out of school. Didn't want to listen to nobody. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of ended up going into the city of Wilson to try to fit in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so when I got there, I was getting bullied before they were talking about bullying.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was. And so to try to impress my friends, I was like, hey, man, I can get y'all whatever you need.
Mm.
And so I'm smoking weed and doing my little drinking and stuff. And I'm stealing just for to get to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But then I was one of the major DJs in that city.
Mm-hmm.
And my best friend, he was just like my brother. One night he had some powder. And I ain't know what it was. I'm a country boy. I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him what he was doing. He said, Tyler. He said, you want some? I said, no. And I never forget it. It's just like yesterday. He said, you know, I'll never give you anything that's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And I took two snorts. He said, take one of each nose. And I took one of each nose. And it changed my life forever.
Wow. And again, powder. And, now, break that down for those who don't know. What is powder?
Powder is a form of cocaine.
Okay.
Now they have crack and they have fentanyl and but back then people were snorting powder. It's a powdery substance, white substance.
Gotcha.
And so my life changed that very instant. I didn't know. So the next day I came back to him
mm-hmm.
and said, hey man, can you get some more of that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that I had unleashed a monster.
Wow.
And then I began to steal from my family, and my mom would never turn her back on me, no matter how much I took from her. Mm. I couldn't go to nobody's house or anything. Mm. So in 1983, I went to prison.
Mm.
The first night in prison, I was raped.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
How old were you then, Cleve?
I was 21.
Okay. And first night in prison.
First night I ever got in, I got a 3-year sentence and got sent, I'll never forget it, Sand Hill Youth Center. And I was raped, you know, and so
wow.
Throughout my stay, I was a loner. I kept being alone and kept being alone. And so after doing 8, back then it was whatever time they gave you, they cut it in half. So I had 3 years cut to 18 months. So I got out in 18 months. And it got worse each time. I went deeper and deeper into it. And then I was introduced to crack cocaine.
Wow.
Big mistake. Mm-hmm. And it went and I went gung-ho. And now I've been out of prison now probably about 7 years. And do you know this the longest I ever been out in my whole life?
Wow.
Because I was so used to I go to prison, get out. 6 months later, I'm back in prison.
Mm-hmm.
I was considered a habitual felon.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know what a habitual felon is, the court deemed you a habitual felon when they see you just going to keep getting in trouble with the same felon. You're going to keep getting felonies. And once they label you as a habitual felon, they can give you a life sentence. I faced the life sentence 3 times.
Wow.
3 times. I faced a life sentence. So I just spiraled. I try to cope. I try to medicate
mm-hmm.
the pain and the hurt and the mental I was going through.
Mm.
And I felt like nobody understood what I was going through. So my way of dealing with my everyday struggles was to medicate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I even tried to kill myself. Right here in Greensboro, you know, I left Wilson and thought I was going to change my life by moving. But I realized that wherever you go, you take you with you.
That's right.
Mm. So you can't. So you couldn't even escape yourself.
I couldn't even escape myself. Guess what? Nobody trusted me, and I didn't even trust myself.
Oh, wow.
And so one night, you know, I had stole a .45, and it was fully loaded. And I was getting high, and something said, yeah, you just need to just end your life. So I put the gun and put it to my head and pulled the trigger, but it wouldn't fire.
Oh,
and when I took it away from my head and pointed it out straight, it fired 16 times.
Mm. Wow.
I'll never forget that.
Wow. You know,
And so, I went from a youth center to adult prison. And so my way of coping with what happened to me in 1983 was to act out, to violently act out.
Yeah.
And, I thought like nobody in my family didn't understand. Mm-hmm. The prison people didn't understand, that now they talk about mental health, but back then they weren't talking about mental health. So they looked at it like he just angered because he locked up. No, I'm dealing with something and you all don't see the symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Wow.
So let me ask you this question then, Cleve. Now, you were talking about even with your mom. Did your mom say, look, I'm done with you?
Go ahead.
You tell me, what happened after that? Yeah.
Okay, so after about the sixth time of going to prison, I got some more charges and I was in jail. And I'm usually calling my mom. My mama put the house up. And, I get out. Mm-hmm. This time she said, no, baby, I ain't coming. I was like, you're not coming? She's like, no, I ain't coming.
Wow.
She said, I know you safe and you ain't in the streets.
Mm.
And that was a hurting thing at the time for me to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And my first reaction was, Mama, they're going to do something to me.
Right.
Going back to 1983.
Yeah.
She said, no, they ain't going to do nothing to you. And that never happened to me again. But it let me know that love, sometimes even when you don't get what you want, you still love.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so my mom said, listen, you got to get it together. And, my dad, he didn't want me around the house. He didn't. I go to people's houses. They say, you got to leave and we leave. That's how it was for a long time. Nobody didn't know I had, low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. That I didn't feel worthy of anything.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't deal with any relationship because it was so degrading. I'll never forget that. It was so degrading. Yeah.
You're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. We've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. And man, you need to call up your uncle, your cousin, your son, your child. We're talking to Cleveland Finch, and he's talking about life after life. So Cleve, let me ask you this question. If I've got a mama,
right,
and she got a son or a nephew or somebody, and she's dealing with, and he's a knucklehead. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
He what society says is a knucklehead.
Right.
But she's trying to figure out, how am I going to help this boy? What did your mom do that made a difference for you?
She showed me tough love. See, we ain't got the moms like we used to have back in the day. Mm-hmm. Grandmamas now, like somebody told me, grandmamas now like 36.
Possibly.
Some of them 28, so they ain't got what our grandmoms had back then.
Right.
Back when we was coming up, we had a support. Like if mama and grandmama supported you, I don't care what you know what I'm saying? And so my mom showed me some tough love and it put a whole, now I look back at it and I was like, I thought she was punishing me, but really it was making me grow up, because I want people to always remember, when you go to prison or you go to jail, you take your family with you.
Mm.
Not physical.
Yeah.
Mentally, you take your family with you, And so my mom taught me so much, man.
Yeah.
So much.
Now, I have like so many questions in my head for you. I really appreciate you coming on and just being so open like this. I've heard folks say, especially people who are doing whatever their drug of choice is, I've heard them say, right, well, I'm not hurting anybody but myself. And if I kind of, you know, I'm tweaking your statement just a little from what you just said. But what would you say to that person who's doing drugs and they're saying, I'm not hurting anybody but myself?
You're lying to yourself.
Mm.
Because it's going to take a toll on your family. It affects your family whether they are in open addiction mm-hmm. or not. It's going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because one thing is, your family start, you know, when your name comes up, your family's always going to see what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And instead of dealing with it, some families distance themselves from that person.
Yeah.
Their own flesh and blood.
Yeah.
And so they only lying to themselves. They've been lying to themselves. I was lying to myself. I like to use me. I don't like to use nobody else.
Yeah.
I like to use me.
Yeah.
And so I was lying to myself. I started telling so many lies, I started believing them.
Yeah.
And so my addiction, man, took me some places. See, addiction and mental health will take you some places that
mm-hmm.
you ain't ready to go. You ain't prepared to go.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get there, you don't know how to come out.
Yeah, it's you need like, some help.
Yeah, you need some help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could, like, I seen people with the suit on, tie and everything, driving a pretty car.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, you just don't know what they're going through behind all that when the doors close at night.
That's very true.
You know, so, you know, with a person in addiction, like when I used to see the same guys right here in Greensboro that I used to get high with,
mm-hmm.
I used to, hey, man, you need to do this. You need to do this. Somebody told me, said, you need to just shut up.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I don't need you to tell them anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just need you to keep living like you living, so they'll come to you and ask you, Cleveland, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to get where you at?
Mm-hmm.
Then that's when you open your mouth and allow that wisdom to come out.
Mm-hmm.
Allow that testimony to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, allow that story to come out.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're going to help somebody. But trying to tell them, you know, look at yourself. Because people used to come to me and say, hey, you need to do this. And I was like, yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I'm trying to find the next hit. And it's just like when I got out of prison this time,
right?
I started chasing recovery mm-hmm. like I was chasing the dope man.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so now you're doing like a 180.
Mm-hmm.
No. I was doing a 360. I'm doing a 7. What is that? What's that? I'm doing double that.
You double doubling.
I'm double doubling.
Let me turn around and turn around again just to make sure
right.
I did it right.
Because this time I just started chasing everything that was positive.
Right. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Let me ask you this question then. I'm going to go back, and as you think about when you were coming, you were in and out of prison. You know, you were going to different prisons around the state.
Right.
Well, did you ever hear anything about mental health, especially as a black man, as a brother?
Well, I'm saying like I used to fight all the time because at the time I didn't know why I loved to just fight. I was trying to act out, trying to make it through just that day. But I want to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I felt better when I'm fighting, rather I get beat up or not. So they sent me to Central Prison in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you want to fight? We got some people you can fight. I said, well, let's go. So they shipped me to Central Prison, and Central Prison changed everything about me.
Wow.
You got guys back there that's got 3 life sentences, ain't gonna never see the street. They've been in there since I've been living.
Wow.
You know, and you see a lot of people don't know that. They say jail, when you're in active addiction, I don't care what it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in active addiction, they tell you in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous,
mm-hmm.
drugs, institutions, or death. I done did the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I done did the institution. Ain't but one thing left.
Oh, wow.
So I decided I ain't want to meet the third thing.
Yeah.
You know, I seen, you know, being in prison, man, I seen a man get his head cut off. I seen stabbings. I seen young people get raped. I seen old people get raped. I seen, you know, rich people that ain't never going home.
Mm.
One thing I found out, money can't buy you everything.
Mm.
Wow, somebody needs to hear that.
I know that's right. Cleve, hold up. How you going to see a man decapitated? His head got cut off.
Right. Prison, some prisons in North Carolina are the most dangerous.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And a lot of, I was sharing it with Mr. Getright. I was sharing this with him. That inmates and convicts in North Carolina prisons make majority of everything that you see every day. Every stop sign, every sign hanging up under the bridge, all signs, 1 hour parking. Don't get it twisted. Department of Transportation do not make them signs. The people in Franklin County make every sign in North Carolina. Even your license plate. Don't think Department of Transportation makes your license plate. They make the license plates right there at Franklin County Correctional Center.
Wow. Man. I didn't know. You know what? This really, again, I told you I have so much stuff floating around in my head that I want to, that I would love to get out. There's part of me that wants to go back to the very, very beginning of your story. And you said, that a friend, the first person that showed you powder was like, hey, trust me, or, you know, I wouldn't do anything to hurt you or something like that.
He wouldn't give me anything that would hurt me.
He wouldn't give you anything that would hurt you. Right. So, and somewhere along the line, you know, somebody said something that wasn't right. Right. Because you got into that and you, it was like, whew, okay. It blew your mind. And that makes me think about, you know, these young boys out here and young girls too, that don't have people to go back to or to say, hey, to help them think critically, to say, you know what, why would I put that up my nose? Why would somebody be giving this to me? You know, it just makes me think back to that, because that is, I heard you mention that, I think you said your father was not really around. Is that what you said a few moments ago?
No, he didn't want me around.
He didn't want you around. So, yeah. So, of course, what does that do to a child's self-esteem to know if the one man that got you here on the planet doesn't want you around? Yes, that absolutely does something to your self-esteem. So let alone, you know, you being taught to make decisions for yourself and think critically and do all of those things that, you know, we would like for fully functioning, giving back to society, little kids to do. And it just, it makes my heart sad to, because I know you're not even the only one who was like, you know, who didn't have somebody to help you to learn to think critically like that. And then on top of that, because you weren't feeling great about yourself, you were already bullied in school, trying to impress your friends or trying to impress people that you thought were your friends by, you know, getting them things that you thought they would like. And then this person comes up to you and gives you something that is life changing for you, but not in a great life-changing way. That just kind of,
it just messed you up.
It just hurts my heart. It really does.
It just, you know, as I got older, I realized, because that same person that gave me the drugs, while I was in prison, he talked to my sister and he talked down on me the whole conversation they had. And so, you know, that hurt me, because I realized that you really want my friend.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I realized.
You realized it later than.
So you have to understand, if you, a true friend is not going to give you anything, you know, he's not going to give you anything. And do you know, I forgave him.
Yeah, that's good for you.
I don't need to carry. I can't carry as much as I've been through. I can't carry somebody else's burden. You know, you did this to me. That's cool. You know what I'm saying? I got some peace in my life today.
Look. Oh, you know what? We, Cleve, you're going to have to come back, because we have barely touched. Barely touched. I mean, there's so many other things I want to get into, and especially a lot of the mental health pieces. There's just so much stuff, and just how you were coping with this, and the substances were what helped you to cope. That's what I always have known, that substances are what's helping folks cope. Go ahead.
It numbs.
Yes.
The thought. Mm-hmm. That's all it does. And it numbs the thought for 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then you off and running, trying to find some more because see, I be talking to my friend when I go and speak, I tell people that life gonna show up whether you want it to or not. Life's gonna
show up. That's right.
It's how you handle life when it shows up.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
You know, I've been clean now going on like 8 years.
Congratulations.
You know, and so to sit up here and say, hey, them thoughts don't come up no more. Of course they do.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's what I process.
Mm-hmm.
What I let process. You know, one thing I found out, whether you getting high or not, if a thought come in your mind, if you meditate on it long enough, you're going to act on it.
Absolutely. Every time.
Wow. Every time. So I tell people where, as a black man, we're so used to action, reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with me, it's a pause in between it. It's action, pause. Okay, if I do this, this gonna happen. If I do this, this gonna happen. And then the action. See, that right now, you know, as black men growing up, we didn't learn about a pause in between that. No. We learned action, reaction. Right. That's what we used to. That's what they show us on TV. Hey, somebody disrespect you, you do this.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's I learned it's a pause, and then you got to put a pause in there.
Look at it. Cleveland, how you going to come on the show with a bang like this? I mean, we just come out the gate at the beginning of this year where you got all this for the
folks. Hey, look. I heard from when the show came on, it's that it was something new in the Kool-Aid. And it's 2026. So, hey, we just came out of we just came out of 2025, right?
That's right.
Okay, that's an old year.
That's right.
So in 26, we're doing new things.
And you came out the gate.
So it can't be the same as it was in 25.
Not with you on the show. No. Oh, my goodness. Wow. You have started it off right.
Hey, look.
That's right.
Hey, if you want to give me a name, just give me my name will be Mr. Keep It Real.
Mr. Keep It Real.
So look,
I love it.
We're going to wrap it up. Y'all, we're going to hear Cleve, Mr. Keep It Real, next week, y'all. We're going to do a part two.
That's right. We got to finish with this.
We can do part two, three, four, five, six, because I want them to get it.
That's right.
I want them to understand that life is life.
That's right. And we hate to rush you, sir, but we got to wrap this one up so that we can make sure that we come on in for the next time. Y'all, if you have any questions or anything, make sure that you are messaging us at WNAAFM@NCAT.edu. WNAAFM@NCAT.edu. And y'all, we look forward to y'all coming back and listening again on How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Living with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Living with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.